So today, y'all, we begin a new sermon series, a preaching series titled Unwrapping Christmas Gifts. I said to the congregation this morning, listen, I'm at that age and stage in my life where I'm not too concerned whether or not I get a gift underneath the tree. Doesn't really matter to me. What's more important to me that I wake up every morning knowing that Jesus is with me, that he is Emmanuel in my life and in your life, that God is with us. And so that blesses my heart more than anything. But let me say this. So I do enjoy that if I'm going to get a gift, take the time to wrap it up. There's some joy, there's some excitement in unwrapping that Christmas gift, y'all. It's kind of deflating and discouraging when someone just walks up to you on Christmas and says, here, take this, this is a gift for you. No wrapping paper. No bow, no ribbon, no little card that says I love you, just hand you something. It's so discouraging that I like it when someone takes the time that, especially children, y'all see the way children wrap up gifts. You know it's a child. It looks like the way I wrap a gift. It's all mangled up, and they do the best they can, but they put some thought into it. And it's not so much even about the cost of the gift, but they put thought into it and they take the time to wrap it up so I can try to guess what's inside that gift, the size of the box, the shape of the box, that you shake it, but don't break it because you don't know what's inside. And you ask yourself the question, as it's sitting beneath the Christmas tree, I wonder what's in that box for me. Is it the favorite pair of kicks? Is it a gaming system? Is it a Rolex? Is it a watch? I'm looking at your eyes right now. Is it that favorite cologne that you've always wanted? Is that favorite outfit? What's inside that box? And then all of a sudden, y'all begin to unwrap it. I mean, the process is really important. The process is good, y'all. You unwrap it, and y'all, you just giddy, and you just, your heart is leaping on the inside, and you gasp, oh, it's just what I wanted. I got some socks and some underwear. Hey, we need it. We need it, y'all. We need it. We need it. We need it. But unwrapping those gifts causes us to be filled with joy as we anticipate what's inside of that Christmas gift. So I want us to do this for the next few weeks if we could. I want us to experience the joy of unwrapping the most important gift or gifts that we could ever have at Christmas. In this preaching series, I want us to stand in awe as we think about what God did for us in the sending of his son, Jesus Christ. That we don't have to be quiet, that we can shout, that we can be glad, because God gave us the best gift that we could ever have in the person of Jesus Christ. So I hope our hearts leap for joy, y'all, as we experience God's goodness today, his best today, found in Jesus Christ, who is the reason for the season. You may not get everything you want for Christmas, but I declare, as long as you got King Jesus, I just believe this, you got everything that you need. As long as you got the Lord on your side, you have everything you need. So many people at this time of the year, y'all, they go into deep debt during the Christmas season, don't they? Look at me, don't look around, look at me. That unfortunately, people try to buy what they cannot afford. That they'll use a credit card, y'all, they'll buy now and pay later, if they can't even pay later. Credit card with an interest rate of 21 and 22% today. But people go into deep debt and they don't have to. But people want to see the faces of their loved ones when they unwrap that Christmas gift. They want to see their faces as they unwrap that Nintendo Switch. Those diamonds or that gold, that Gucci or that Prada. But if you can't afford it, let it be a nada. I can't get that. No, nada. No, we're not getting that because I cannot afford it. Look, if you can take a crayon and a sheet of paper and draw Merry Christmas on it and I love you on it, if that's the best that you can do, something, no, you got to do better than that. You got to do better than that. But the point I'm making, I'm trying to help somebody today because it's usually in this season that so many Americans go into deep debt trying to buy stuff they cannot afford. But here's the one thing we can do. Let's all be content with the greatest gift that God has given us in the person of Jesus Christ. So in our text for today, Gospel writer Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. You have it, stand to your feet, look at your Bibles on your electronic devices, or look to the screen. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, as I read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says this: this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man, yeah, he sure was, and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So I would encourage our hearts this morning from the thought, the gift that makes us debt-free. The gift that makes us debt-free. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So Matthew's gospel is written primarily to the Jews, but it's the word of God for all people. But Matthew writes to prove that Jesus is in fact, was in fact the Messiah, the promised king, that he came to fulfill Old Testament prophecy, to rescue God's people from their sin. The text gives us the birth story of Jesus. But what I love about this story, Matthew's gospel, he highlights a critical point, that Jesus is the gift that pays off our debt in full. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Jesus is the gift that came to pay off your debt and my debt in full. If I handed you a box right now and it was full of money, how much money would you need to be in that box to pay off all of your debt? All of your bills? I mean, your mortgage payment, all your car payments, all your credit card. How big would that box need to be? How much money would you really need to have? I don't know about you, but what's up, son? Good to see you in the house today. All right. Y'all, that's K2 right there. That's Felicia beside us. That's my people, yeah. Yeah, just good to see y'all in the house today. So I just had to do that, y'all. They surprised me. Praise God. They're in the house today. I can skip it a beat. Yeah, praise God. So what are we talking about? But think about what a blessing it would be, y'all. What a blessing it would be if someone were to do that for you. But know something, that God sent down the greatest gift that you could I could ever. It's a gift that frees us. It cancels the balance of our debt. It wipes the slate clean. It makes us eternally debt-free. It's a debt, y'all, that money simply can't pay off. Yeah. And so as we celebrate this great gift, let's look at a few things as based upon the text. So I want us to first look at the cause of our debt. How did we get into this hole that we're in? So again, Matthew tells the birth story to explain how Jesus was born. But don't be mistaken, he also lets us know why Jesus had to come. Verse 21, he says, for he will save his people from their sins. And so as we look at this first book in the New Testament, it's important that we go back to the first book in the Old Testament, which is the book of Genesis. Because that's where we find out about this whole issue about sin and how sin came into the world. Because spiritual debt didn't start with a bad purchase. But it started with a bad choice in the Garden of Eden. We know the story well of Adam and Eve, don't we? Many of us learned that when we were just small children in Bible school, in vacation Bible school, that God created them and set them in the garden. And God said, all of this is for you. There's only one tree that you should not eat from. Y'all know the story. Y'all know the story. Y'all know what they decided to do. God said this, they allowed the enemy, the devil, to speak to them, and they did that. That they broke God's rules, they broke what God told them to do. Listen, Romans chapter 5 and 12 says this, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone because everyone sins. I know this is elementary, but it's true. That we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. All of us have sinned. So in this Christmas season, as we celebrate the greatest gift that God has given us, we have to think about the cause of the debt. It was a sin debt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a money debt, but a sin debt. So again, what is sin? It's breaking God's rules. It's rebelling against God. Think about this for a minute. We got a few teenagers in here. Maybe are they in another class right now? And then we were all teenagers at one time. And I dare to say most of us, if not all of us, at one point, our mothers and our fathers gave us some rules to live by if we're going to live in their household. But at some point, for whatever reason, most of us decided at some point we know better. And we break the rule. We break the regulations. And if you grew up in a household that I came up in, oh, it was a bad thing. You wouldn't break that rule again after they got through with you. But it's the same sense. That God came up with a rule. God made us. God created us. God gives us good things. And it's here in his word that God sets his standard. God sets his rules that we're not to break. We're to obey him. Listen, beloved. God would never tell you to do anything, command you to do anything just because he's just talking. Because he's just capricious. He's just God. He wants to see you suffer because you can't do this. You can't do that. Understand, so God knows what's best for you and for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He created us.
Yeah.
He knows us. God knows what's best for you.
Yeah.
So it's best to follow God's rules. Don't break his rules. But sin began with Satan because Satan wanted to be higher than God. He was a mighty angel. And he wanted to be higher than God, which was his downfall. But guess what? Satan then brought sin into the world. We're just talking about the story, y'all, from the beginning. He tempted Adam and Eve with the same enticement, y'all. You will be like God. That's where it lies, y'all. That God created you and me. And when we break his rules and his laws and his commands, it's like us saying, listen, God, I know what's best for me.
Yeah.
That I'm living my life on my own terms, the way I want to live it, God. I know better than you, God. And we don't. But we try to be like God or greater than God when we decide we're going to take our lives into our own hand and live life our own way. So let me ask you the question in the house today. Who's here today? Ask yourself the question. Don't look around. Look at me. Look at me. That you're living a life and a lifestyle right now where you say, I'm going to do it my way. I know what God says. I know what his rules say. I know what his commandments say. I hear all of that, but I'm still going to do it my way. Listen, I beg you, I plead with you to do it God's way and to receive God's blessings. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
But let's face it, y'all, we don't need a class, a course in how to sin. Think about a two-year-old, the terrible two. You don't have to teach them how to sin. Stop hitting your brother. Stop hitting your sister. Be still. You can't go outside. I told you no. But they're going to do it anyway. What we're trying to teach them is how not to sin, how to do things the right way.
Yeah.
I don't care whether you're 2 or you're 20 or you're 60 or you're 80. Sometimes we can act like two-year-olds.
Yes, sir.
When it comes to obeying God's rules and his commands, God says one thing and we want to do another. It's the cause of our debt. It's called sin. Sin is a charge that we keep adding to our account because we keep on sinning. And if you're sitting up in here today and you say, I'm a born again believer, I'm baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you don't sin, the Bible says, John says, you're a liar. I love the epistles, the letters of John. Yeah, John cuts to the quick because he's talking to believers. And he says, listen, you believer, you brother, you sister, if you say that you don't sin, then are you calling God a liar? Or are you the liar? So we keep on sinning, but the good news is God keeps on blessing. God keeps on forgiving. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here's the deal. We created this tab, y'all, this debt, but we could not and we cannot clear the tab. Listen to this. We bankrupt our souls when we budget our lives without God. Let that marinate. That we bankrupt our souls when we budget our lives, try to live our lives without God. Without God, we can do nothing. Without God, we would fail. The cause of our debt is sin, and sin is bigger than us, badder than us, and greater than us, and we need God in our lives. So Jesus came because humanity swiped the card of sin, and we maxed out our moral credit. So this debt, y'all, this sin, it's not an accident. You know, I love it when people say, so-and-so fail. What do they fall? We try to clean stuff up. We try to clean sin up. Oh, I've fallen. Well, where'd you fall? Did you hit the ground? No, you sinned. You messed up. You did the do. You did what you shouldn't do. So it's not accidental. It's inherited. It's chosen and it's repeated. That's the cause of our debt. So sin dug a hole, y'all, that's so deep that Hades can't get us out of. That's the cause. And so we thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ, because we also understand this, y'all, that the complexity of our debt, y'all, it's deeper than a dollar. It's a deep hole. See, look at Joseph's story in the text today. That it's complicated, y'all. That this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her public, so he decided to give her a divorce. That's the equivalent of engaged. They were engaged, but a divorce. And that day, y'all, when they came together, they were betrothed, y'all. That's an old ancient word, but it was as good as if they were actually married. They simply did not consummate the relationship. Yeah. That would happen maybe some 6 months later or later before they consummated the relationship. But it was as good as if they were already married. So this is complicated. Walk with me, y'all. It didn't take a whole lot of thought to think about this. That you're saying, I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to marry this woman. Only to find out before you consummate the relationship that she's been with somebody else. That's what it would appear to be. That's what we would think. Although that's not the truth in the text, but that's what we would think. It's complicated, y'all. It's complicated for Joseph. It's complicated for Mary. Yeah, yeah. But it's not too complicated for God. Yeah. That God had a plan. That God had a promise. That God had a purpose in all of this. And so we didn't know, too, that our spiritual debt, y'all, is real complicated. The last time I checked, y'all, it creates layers and messes and consequences, y'all, that we simply cannot control. Talk to me, somebody. Yeah. Don't look around, but look at me. Did y'all know that sin will take you further than you want to go? Yes. And keep you there longer than you want to be there? Yes. Yeah, somebody knows what I'm talking about today. I think about Genesis chapter 15 and Abraham's story. We see how complicated sin is when we look at his story, Abraham and Sarah. Y'all know the story well, don't you? Y'all know this story. That God had promised Abraham, listen, you're going to be the father of many nations. They're going to be a whole lot of people. You're going to have a whole lot of people. You're going to have a whole lot of kinfolk and all of that. But there was a problem. That his wife Sarah was barren. Yeah. That she could not have a child. And so what do they decide to do? They getting well up in age and everything. Ain't no baby popped up, you know. She ain't went to the doctor. You pregnant? That didn't happen. So they take matters into their own hands. Yes, listen. Sir. Sin complicates our choices. Sin complicates choices. Because they chose to do something that God did not say for them to do. What did they choose to do? They take old girl. Her name is Hagar. That she is a servant. And Sarah, for whatever reason, says to her, listen, you go in, I'm keeping a G, you go in and you be with this woman so we can produce a child and fulfill God's promise. But that's not what God promised. That's not how he promised his promise. God was saying, she will have a child. Sarah, you're going to have a child. I don't care how old, you're going to have a child. So sin complicates our choices, y'all. And it does for us today, too. When we choose to do things our way and not God's way, it complicates our choices. It complicates our lives. But sin also complicates our relationships, doesn't it? So Abraham and Sarah, listen, Hagar, I'm sure their relationship was probably pretty decent while she was just a servant in the household until Sarah said, listen, go sleep with the girl. produce a baby. And so y'all know what happens after that. I'm just telling the story. You know the story that she has a baby. The baby's name is Ishmael. And so now here's Hagar looking like, I can have children. I can have me some babies, but nah, 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 boo, boo, you can't. And so what does she do? That Sarah looks at Abraham and says, listen, girl got to go. Listen, she got to leave this house. She got to leave my presence. She got to go, so she can't stay here. That sin complicates relationships.
Yeah.
I wonder what kind of relationship they could have maintained if they did it God's way.
Yeah.
It created turmoil between Abraham and Sarah, between Sarah and Hagar, between Abraham and Hagar. He booted her own out like she was just trash. Sarah said, you got to go. Bye, girl. The good news is God still has his hand on them. He still has his hand on them. Sin complicates relationships, y'all. I hope you know that.
Yeah, it
can complicate the relationship between husbands and wives.
Yeah.
When one decides that, listen, I'm not going to stay faithful to this relationship, it complicates the relationship. It complicates relationships between parents and children.
Yeah.
When children decide, listen, I'm going to do it my way and not your way, it complicates the relationship. It strains the relationship.
Yeah.
There may be some people here today that you haven't spoken to, a mother, a father, a sister, a brother in years because the relationship is strained. That you pledge your love to them, that they are your blood, they're your blood, but you don't even speak to them.
Come on, come on, come on.
The sin complicates relationship because what somebody said to you, what somebody did to you.
Yeah.
Why can't we just squash some stuff and get back together to love one another?
Yeah.
Sin complicates relationships, but not only that, sin complicates our destiny.
Yes, it does.
That God has a purpose for you and me. God has a path that he wants you to follow and me to follow. But when I decide I'm going to do it my way instead of God's way, listen, I'm walking through the woods. I'm tipping through the tulips. When God didn't say, that's the way I want you to go.
Yeah.
Now, it does not stop God's promises. That's what I love about God, y'all. That's what I love about him.
Yeah.
Y'all, I can mess up. I can tear some things up. But God will still guide me right back on the path into his purpose. He'll guide you back into his destiny, his plan, his purpose for your life and my life. But sin complicates our destiny, but it can't stop God's promises. So we see the complexity of our debt. It's deeper than dollars. Sin is a bill with hidden fees, y'all. It costs more than you expect. So in our story for today, Joseph didn't know how to fix his problem. He just going to kick old girl to the curb. Listen, he going to do it quietly, though. He going to put her away quietly. How do you do that quietly? You just send out the invitation to everybody know y'all getting married. Everybody, you betrothed to her. Everybody, oh, that's your girl over there. All of a sudden, you got a written certificate of divorce now. And the people didn't know what that would have been all about. You know, so written certificate of divorce. So somebody saying somebody messed up. You can see Mary walking around the rest of her life with the scarlet letter A on her. She done did something. And that would have been bad in that day because she could have been stoned for it.
But
heaven stepped into the situation.
Yeah.
That God stepped into their situation. Said, listen, don't put her away. Marry her.
Yeah.
Because the child that's with her is born of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You know, likewise, we can't untangle the sin in our lives. We need a power that's greater.
Yes, sir.
We need a person that's greater.
Yes, sir.
The self-help can't solve it. Religion can't reduce it. Good works can't wipe it out. Our debt needs a divine intervention that's deeper than dollars. And it requires heavenly sense. It requires God's wisdom and God's power and God's knowledge. So we needed a gift that could get us out of debt. Because our debt was what, y'all? It was a sin debt. It was a complex debt. And so finally, y'all, we gaze upon what we know as the cure of our debt, the gift that pays it all. Verse 21 in the text, y'all, it really brings it all together. It's what it's all about. It brings a shout. It ought to bring a shout in your heart, a leap in your soul. And she will have a son. And you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. That his name is Jesus. It's in the Greek, Jesus. In the Hebrew, it's Yeshua. Yahweh, God, saves his people, for he shall save his people from their sin.
Amen.
Again, the immediate context to the Jews, but it's to all people. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be what? Shall be saved.
Yes, sir.
Have you called on him?
Yeah.
Don't forget, have you called on the name of Jesus?
Amen.
Have you truly called on him as Lord and the Savior of your life? That he is the cure for your sin debt and my sin debt. He's the gift that pays it all, y'all.
Yes,
so Jesus didn't negotiate our sin debt. He paid it off. He didn't lower the interest rate, y'all. He wiped it out.
Yeah.
He didn't offer a payment plan. He offered full pardon for our sins. I'm glad about it, y'all. And sins past, present, and future, all of them. At the cross, Jesus stamped out our sin debt, paid it in full.
Yes.
So Jesus is our gift, y'all. He doesn't sit beneath a tree, but he hung on a tree. He hung on the cross at Calvary for you and me. And now we're free. We are forgiven. We are debtless forever. Anybody glad about the cure for real, though? Anybody glad for the cure? Anybody glad for Jesus in the house today? So, again, the cause of our debt is sin. The complexity of our debt is life tangled by sin. But the cure for our debt, it's a glorious cure. It's Jesus, God's gift to us.
Amen.
Again, to whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. So I'm hoping this Christmas that we would unwrap the only gift that pays our sin debt in its entirety. It pays it in full. That I've got a gift here. It's packaged up nice. But inside this packaging, wrapped up inside, is a gift. And the gift for anybody that knows the game of Monopoly. Anybody know Monopoly? That in Monopoly, you can land in jail, but get a get out of jail free card.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going somewhere with this, y'all. Y'all ain't got excited yet. That's it. Monopoly is a game. But here is the reality, that all of us landed in hell, or would have landed in hell, if it were not for Jesus. So it's not a get out of jail free card, that Jesus paid it all. He paid the sin debt for you and for me, and we ought to be excited about that. That's the truth. That you didn't get out of this thing free, that he paid the debt for you and for me. And so this Christmas, y'all, let's remember the words to that old famous song. It's not a Christmas song, but it's a good song. It goes something like this. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Anybody glad you've been washed? Washed by the blood of Jesus. Washed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you've been washed clean forever and forever. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ. Anybody glad about it today? I'm glad he washed me. He continues to wash me and to make me clean, to make me more like him. And I'm glad about this Christmas gift that frees us from all of our debt. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for this word today. Even before Christmas comes and we unwrap those gifts beneath a tree, let our hearts and minds be focused on the greatest gift that you could ever give us, the person of Jesus Christ. And Isaiah said at best, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him by his stripes, by his beating, by his whipping, being tortured. We have now been set free if we have certainly called on the name of Jesus. Called on him not just any kind of way, but with a heart, calling on him from our hearts and believing that he is who said he is and was.
Yes,
that he is the Son of the living God. that gave his life for us. So here we are, oh God. Ask that you would touch the hearts of all that are gathered here. As we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Christ. We celebrate this great gift. But there are those that have yet to receive the gift. The gift is available here right now. So let your people know through your spirit, oh God, how much you love them. Holy Spirit, draw them only as you can. If we admit that we sinned, we believe that Jesus Christ was and is who he say he is, that we confess Jesus with our mouths, believe in our hearts that, Father, you raised him from the dead. Your word said that saves it, that settles it, it seals it. It doesn't mean that we walk perfect lives by day one, but it means that we are sealed in a relationship with you, Father, and with you, Jesus, forever and forever and forever. And then we walk it out after that. So again, Holy Spirit, speak to a heart right now. Let someone know that if being in relationship with you, Jesus, right, being out of relationship with you is the wrong thing. May they choose you today, Jesus, the greatest gift they could ever receive. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, give God praise in the house today. Amen and amen. Listen, our ushers are standing in the aisles right now. Their arms are outstretched. So we invite you today. Number one, if you don't have a saving relationship with Jesus, that you'd have that relationship today. Again, we said it in the prayer. How does that happen? The Bible makes it plain that we admit that we are sinners, that all of us have broken God's rules, that none of us are righteous, as Romans said, no, not one. But here's what we believe, that God sent his son into the world, Jesus into the world, to save us. While we were yet still sinners, Christ showed up in the world to save you and me. How did he save us? That he went to Calvary's cross so that we would not have to pay the penalty, which is the wrath of God for our sins. Yeah. But 3 days later, he got back up with all power. This child that was born in Bethlehem, yes, is the same Savior that died on the cross. Right. And 3 days later, got back up with all power, that saving power. So if you are here today, we want to extend this invitation to you to receive Jesus, the greatest gift you could ever receive. Hands are extended in the back. Just get up from where you are. They will lead you to room number one. Room number one, we'll gather information and we'll welcome you with open arms. Won't you come right now? Perhaps you are here today and you are in a saving relationship with Jesus, but you're not connected to a local church where you can fellowship with other believers, pray with other believers. Won't you come right now? Hands are extended right now. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow's not promised. Won't you come right now?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.